Life is messy, beautiful, complicated. We juggle family, work, love, and its expectations, but sometimes we just need to talk about it out loud. This is That Space, a place to laugh at the chaos, honor the challenges, and celebrate the wins, both big and small, where stories are shared, hearts are open, and no one is pretending. Authenticity is welcome here. So pour your tea and join me because there's a space and a seat here for every version of you. This is Conversations with Koi. Welcome back to Conversations with Koi, a safe space for hard truths and radical vulnerability, where we have real conversations about the lives we're living, not only the lives that we were taught to want. I'm your host, Dr. Koi Moriah. I almost cannot believe that we are here. The last episode of season one. Even 12 months ago, I could not have predicted this. And so today my heart is full and I feel deep and immense gratitude. It really is true what they say. Just start now. Start when you're unsure. Start while scared. Start even before everything aligns, because eventually things do fall into place. I started shooting this podcast in September of 2025 and released my first episode in the last quarter of that year. I could have easily said I will wait till the new year to start. That would have been the logical thing to do. Start the new year with a bang. After all, we are all about New Year's resolutions. Instead, I just decided to go for it. And so, my dear listener, if there's something that you've been wanting to do, I hope that this will inspire you to just start. Start as you are and from where you are. I promise you that the universe will line things up and the pieces will fit. And if it doesn't, then it is an invitation to reevaluate and perhaps tweak things or change direction. It has truly been a season of unearthing for me. A new chapter that's less about doing, proving, or performing, and more about being, feeling, and sharing. During this time, I reconnected with my reason for being, that is, to heal the woman. I sought peace with my younger self by writing a letter to her. In it, I thanked her and honored her. I thanked every version of me that has ever been, for they carried me here the best way they know how. I reflected on a woman's worth and why society still uses marriage and motherhood as the yardstick with which to measure our value. I also contemplated on what honoring our bodies through rest might look like. And ultimately today, I focus on cultivating gratitude. In addition to my reflections, I had the most nourishing dialogues with amazing guests. Sharing space with each and every one of my guests has been food to my soul. No topic was off limits, and it is my sincere hope that the conversations with our guests left you feeling seen, heard, or maybe even challenged for the better. For me, this podcast has always been more than just conversation. It's about creating a space where we can pause, unmask ourselves, and talk honestly about the things that we often keep hidden. Even if that means having uncomfortable conversations, because it is in the discomfort that transformation happens. This podcast is not about counter-narratives. Rather, it's about creating a space that amplifies alternative narratives that align with so many of us who are often made to feel invisible. And it is my sincere hope that we have achieved this so far. In the spirit of honoring what I am feeling today, this state of thankfulness and gratitude, I want to reflect on practicing gratitude. When I was younger, we sang a song in Sunday school that was about counting your blessings one by one. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Some of you might know that song. And so, I have always known the need to be grateful and to count one's blessings. But up until some years ago, I only understood this intellectually and not really as a true practice. It is often so much easier to dwell on the negative, on all the things that are going wrong, all the things that you wanted that did not come to be. I still find myself in this space occasionally. And frankly, sometimes we just need to allow ourselves some time and space for a pity party and to feel bad about things that did not go as we hoped. However, the pity party needs to be time bound, because what I have learned over the years is that intentionally living appreciatively can make the difference between a gloomy, barely bearable existence and wholesome living. We're living in a world where it has become increasingly difficult to feel and be thankful. Everywhere you turn, there's an upsurge of hate and intentional divisiveness. Global conflicts and suffering are the order of the day. Tyranny and unhealthy nationalism are preferred over collective care and humanity. My own country, Kenya, has been a story of pure heartbreak over the last 2 or more years. Many young lives have been lost simply for demanding for their constitutional rights and government accountability. Abductions, disappearances, and deaths in police custody have become commonplace, in addition to the increase in corruption and mismanagement of public funds. It is a difficult time to be a Kenyan. Many of our hearts are deeply wounded, our spirits are tired, and our minds are in a fog of frustration. I myself have sometimes felt paralyzed by the current state of the world and my country, immobilized by despair and struggling to practice gratitude in these times. But then I pause and I remember who I am. I am the daughter of great warriors. In both my maternal and paternal lineage, I have ancestors who were literal freedom fighters, known commonly as the Mau Mau. Indeed, as I recently learned, one of my great aunts, a sister to my late grandfather, was not only a freedom fighter, she was a general in the Mau Mau. No doubt, one of the very few female generals of that time. While some of my people went to the forest to fight for the liberation of this country, others, like both my grandmothers, silently endured brutality beyond imagination just to keep their children and families safe and ensure the survival of their lineage. My paternal grandmother, for example, was one time physically beaten by the so-called Home Guards, agents of the white colonizer, when she was falsely accused of harboring the Mau Mau. She suffered this indignity in front of her then young children. My now 81-year-old paternal aunt still vividly remembers her mother being mercilessly whipped, and she continues to live with that trauma. My maternal grandmother, on the other hand, still alive at 94 years of age, tells me of an incident where a white colonizer hit her so hard on the back with the butt of his gun, leaving her on the ground in debilitating pain for several minutes, her young baby daughter, my auntie, strapped on her back. To this day, my maternal grandmother carries those physical injuries. X-ray images of her back tell a shocking story, and she has prolonged seasons of intense back pain as a result of these injuries. We are all amazed that she can still independently move about despite the physical trauma on her body. At various points on both sides of my family, my relatives were internally displaced persons, forced to flee the comfort of their homes with very little, leaving most of their possessions behind to run away to safety when the war for independence intensified. During these times of intense war, it was the women who took their children and families to safety, as both my grandfathers were working elsewhere, trying to earn a living for their families. I am the daughter of those unsung heroes, those quiet guardians who were brutalized but remain unbowed. And whilst I might carry their generational trauma and pain, I also carry their strength and resilience. So when I feel helpless and hopeless at the current state of affairs, I remember who I am. And I feel deep gratitude for those who came before me, those who protected their lineage so that I might be here today, those who continue to guide me, light my path, and protect me even when I cannot see them. It is in my despair that I feel their presence the most. They surround me, pour into me, and remind me that I am their child. I feel their presence constantly. I am grateful for their sacrifices and I honor them deeply and profoundly. Even in the current madness of the world, I am grateful for little pockets of joy that remind me that the divine is everywhere. I am also intentional about seeking joy because joy is both survival and a form of resistance. In a world that is designed to steal and break my humanity, that is constantly trying to make me hate, to feel fear and be prejudiced against anyone who is different from me, choosing joy is an act of self-care. As I recently read on an Instagram post by the Scatter Joy Project, choosing joy is not about ignoring pain or pretending it does not exist. It's about creating hope, laughter, and connection even in the midst of struggle. Joy strengthens our resilience, giving our minds and hearts the fuel that they need to keep moving forward. End quote. And pockets of joy can be found everywhere. It is in the beauty of a welcoming sunrise, in the splendor of a majestic sunset, in the calm expanse of the ocean, in the sight and smell of blooming flowers, in the beautiful green of the grass, in the laughs and cries of children playing outside, in a delicious meal, or the joyful company of loved ones. It is everywhere. Nature, in particular, can be very healing. At least for me, it is. So, my dear listener, next time you're feeling overwhelmed or are in a space of continued ingratitude, try being in nature. Whether that's taking a walk in a nearby forest or a park or hiking somewhere out there or just sitting out in the grass, maybe even walking barefoot on a patchy grass somewhere and see what it does for you. I have found that reconnecting with nature does something good for my soul and for my spirit. And if nature is not your thing, then perhaps reflect on where else you can draw joy and gratitude from, whatever your circumstances and wherever you are in life. As I wrap up, in the spirit of gratitude, it would be extremely remiss of me to not show appreciation to those who have been in the background of conversations with Koi and have carried me to this point. To many friends, colleagues, and family members, too many to mention them all, thank you. Your words of support, encouragement, and positivity and good cheer have been deeply appreciated and have been warming to my heart. To the IR studio and all the staff, thank you for being a brilliant partner and always taking such good care of me and ensuring my comfort. Between you guys at the studio and my producer, I'm able to focus on the creative work because I know that everything else is handled. To Pauline, who is the face behind all the social media content and engagement that you see on Conversations with Koi, thank you. You're doing an amazing job, and I'm grateful for you. Last but not least, to my producer, Lolo, you're a big part of the realization of this podcast, which lived rent-free in my head as an idea for the last 4 years. I could not have made it a reality without you giving me the nudge that I needed to get this done, and also for taking on all the production responsibilities. So thank you. And to you, my dearest listener, thank you for journeying with me this whole season, for your feedback, for your engagement. You are the reason that we do this, and we hope that it has been an enjoyable and enriching experience for you. I cannot wait to reconnect with all of you in season 2 as we continue to draw courage from vulnerability and freedom in our truth. Until then, you know the drill. You can find us Conversations with Koi from wherever you get your podcast from, and on YouTube for the full video episodes. You can also continue to engage with us on our social media platforms that are listed in the podcast description. Till next time, and until next season, that's it for season 1. Stay well.